Bags down, spikes on. Welcome to the track. Hi, my name is Colin Waitzman. I'm going to be your host of this episode of Track World News, presented by Track Barn. And before we get into everything, make sure you leave a like, subscribe, leave a comment. Really helps us know that you're enjoying the content over here. And man, oh man, do we have a lot of things to cover today. Two U20 world records go down. Trayvon Bermell opening up with a 9.75. We have Christine Mboma opening up with a world lead. And we'll talk a little bit about the Penn relays and Drake relays as well. So, lot of things that we're going to be covering, so let's just jump right into it with Arian Knighton. So Arian Knighton is having an amazing start of his career so far. So this past weekend, he runs a 19.49 at LSU, which is the new U20 world record, which he broke his own record that he set last year with a time of 19.84. This is the first ever 19.4 ever ran in the 200, and this puts him fourth overall for fastest time ever. The order goes Usain Bolt, who ran the 19.19. Then we have Johan Blake, who ran the 19.26. And then we have Michael Johnson with a 19.32. And then we have Arian Knighton with a 19.49, and he leapfrogged right over Noah Lyles, who has the 19.5, so he moves him down to fifth place. So this is an insane race. I mean, if you look back at the tape, not only was Arian Knighton's time very fast, it was just a fast time overall. Joseph Fombele, he runs a 19.92, and then Dorian Campbell runs a 20.0. Both very fast times. For Dorian, it was a massive PR for him. Guy from LSU, he's actually been improving every single race, so he's someone that you should really watch out for going into the national championship here. But Arian Knighton has been on an absolute tear. So obviously, last year he runs the 19.84. He now has four sub-20 times. And so a lot of people, obviously, and I believe rightfully so, are making the comparison to Usain Bolt and saying, all right, so where does this put Arian Knighton? Because obviously, whenever somebody runs a fast time, the first thing that we automatically assume, and you automatically will see, is this guy is going to be the next Usain Bolt. We saw this with Arian Knighton, obviously. We've seen this with Terrence Laird, Matthew Bowling, Coleman. You saw this with Noah Lyles. Everyone. Like, if you're a young, fast guy, you have been compared to Usain Bolt at one point in your career. That's just how our sport kind of works. And pretty much all of them so far have not really led up to actually being Usain Bolt, because Usain Bolt ran very fast at a very young age. He broke the world records when he was 22 years old, just about to turn 23 the next day. So he has been very fast, very young. And so many of these guys are running fast times. I mean, probably Noah Lyles is the closest person to it, with where he ran the fifth fastest time with a 19.5, but right now, like, Arian Knighton's got the best case to actually not only be Usain Bolt, but, I mean, he might be better. I mean, like, let's take a look and compare these two right now. So for Usain Bolt, he, at the age of 18, he didn't run the 100 yet. So he started the 100 when he was 19 years old, because the first one is, no, maybe 20, because the first one was in 2007, he ran a 10.03, was his first 100, and then the next year he ran a 9.68. So he started off with a 20.3, but at this point, at 18, he hadn't ran the 100 yet. So he hadn't ran it, and then in the 200, he ran a 19.93. So Arian Knighton broke his U20 world record last year with his 19.84. So he ran a 19.93, and then in the 400, he ran a 45.35, and then as an accolade, he came in 40th in the Olympics. He got knocked out of the prelims there. And so where does that stack up with Arian Knighton? Well, Arian Knighton, he has a 100 of a 10.04. So very fast. Obviously, we haven't seen anything at Usain Bolt at this time, but 10.04. He has a 19.49 in the 200, obviously, and a 47.48 in the 400. And then he has the fourth place finish at the Olympics that he did when he was 17 years old. And so this guy has been the most comparable to Usain Bolt. And obviously, I mean, the numbers are showing that he's better at 18. Like, at equal ages, Arian Knighton is better than Usain Bolt. Because Usain Bolt, at this point, he only had two sub-20 times by the time he was 18. He had the one with the 20.93, and I believe he ran, or a 19.93. And I believe he also had, what was it, a 19.97 the year before, the next year. So that he did that when he was 17. He ran the 19.93. And then the next year, he ran a 19.97. So he actually ran a little slower in his when he was 18. And so he ran that. And this guy, Arian Knighton has four sub-20 times. He has this 19.49, and he has three other ones, obviously the 19.84 that he ran, and then there was another one. There was three others he did last year. But so he's been running really, really fast times as well. And obviously when it comes to the biggest stage, the Olympics, he got fourth, and Usain Bolt wasn't able to get out of the prelims. And so whenever people are making these the next Usain Bolt comments, you know, you usually just laugh at him. But this one actually seems genuine. And this is the first one that I actually believe could be the next Usain Bolt, if not better. He's running nearly half of a second faster than what Usain Bolt did at the same age. So he's already got him on the talent side by there. The 100, we don't know what he runs, but looking at what he did when he was 19 or 20 years old, it's fair to say he would probably be running around a 10.04, if not a 10.1, when he was doing if he was to do the 100. Now the area that Bolt obviously has him is going to be that 400. So, he had the 45.35 versus Arian, who only has a 47.48. And so it's a little different because it seems like Knighton has been more of the 1 and 2 guy, obviously, and Bolt focused pretty much on the 400 until he transitioned over to the 100 down during the mid 2000s. And so that's going to come into play here when it comes to trying to drop that time from a 4.9 down into the 19.3s and 2s and maybe into the 1s, because you're going to have that strength from the 400. It's going to start to really creep up on you in that second half of the race, because it's 100 and probably the first 150 will be really smooth. It'll be really good. There's no problem there. What's going to become an issue a little bit will be that endurance strength. The fact that you don't have that 400 meter background, how is that going to play into what you're going to be able to be running when it comes to these massive meets and trying to break these world records? Like, the better you get and the higher you become athletically, the more those little things matter. And the fact that he doesn't have as much training in the 400 traditionally is going to be a thing. Now, I have no idea what they're running, what the training's like. Obviously, he's in a fantastic training group. It's him, Grant Holloway, Noah Williams, Noah Lyles, Josephus Lyles, Wade Van Niekerk. I think Steven Gardner as well is over there. So he's in a great training group to be able to do very well. So I don't think that that's going to be an issue. It's just we don't know, because he doesn't run many open 400s. He ran the 4x4 last weekend with Grant Holloway and crew, but we're just not seeing what he's doing right now in the 400 because he hasn't run the open 400. But if he is getting that endurance training in, and if in practice he's, you know, splitting these 45s, then, man, I'd have to say that he's going to break the world record. This year, I don't think so. I mean, to drop down from a 19.84 to a 19.18 in one season is an insane gap to do. Like, that's wild to see. It would be wild in just a regular. Like, you know, for someone running much slower times, it'd be a lot to go down by nearly a second. And so while I don't think that he'll break it this year, the world record, if anyone's going to get it right now, it looks like it's going to be Arian Knighton. Now, would like to see what he's going to be doing later on in the season. Is he going to run another 200? Is he just going to save it until Nationals? What's the game plan going to be there? I don't know, but I'm looking forward to seeing when he will run and if this is something that he can repeat. Will he be able to be down in those 9.5s, the 9.4s, or will the next time he run be in that 9.8 range, 9.7? That's going to be a big difference to kind of determine, once again, is this a flash in the pan or is this going to be the new normal? I'm hoping it's going to be the new normal. Next, gotta go on over to Trayvon Bromell. So Trayvon Bromell, obviously we had him just on the podcast last weekend. If you would like to hear the interview we did, it was amazing. You guys have loved it, actually. It's been the most watched and listened to interview that we've ever had, and one of the most listened to and watched just episodes overall that we've had. So thank you very much for that. But he runs an opening of a 9.75 with a plus 2.1 tailwind, so just a little bit over the legal limit. Still overall very fast. He would have, I think, ran what would have been like a 19.89 if it was, you know, no win there. So still would be very fast. And where does this plant him to do what he's going to be doing next year? Obviously, this would have been the fastest time last year, had he ran this last season, and it been legal. Last season, he opened up with a 10.01. So adjusting for wind, this still would have been faster this year compared to last season. He didn't run into the 9.7s with any amount of wind until June 5th. So he is already way ahead of schedule here. And when we spoke with him in our interview, he mentioned that he's going to be more strategic with when and how he is going to be racing. He doesn't want to go with what happened last year, where he ran really well during the quote unquote regular season, but then once it came to the championships and the Olympics, he wasn't able to perform. So he said he wants to avoid that by strategically deciding which races he's going to be doing so that when it matters the most, he can be blasting at all cylinders there. And so he's really gearing up to have a special year, and looking at what he is doing, I believe it. He's, you know, opening up with a what would have been the world lead had there been just a little bit less wind there. I can only imagine that this is going to be a very, very fast season. Next, kind of tying into Trayvon Bromell. So out of Botswana, Letsile Tebogo of Botswana, he breaks Trayvon Bromell's U20 100 meter record with a time of 9.96. Trayvon Bromell, he broke this record, I think it was 9.99 when in. He did this in 2014, and so this guy, I don't know too much about him. Like, I'll be honest, like, this is the first time that I had really heard about this guy's name. And, like, take a look at what his progression has looked like. So, obviously, he's 18 right now, and so the times we're going back to are when he was 16 years old. But this guy, 3 years ago, he ran a 10.49. Or I guess 2 years ago, ran a 10.49. Last year, he ran a 10.11. And then now, he's running a 9.96. So this guy is progressing in the exact right way that you want to be doing it. And whenever you're breaking a record by Trayvon Bromell, you know, you're going to be in really good company. And so, once again, we'll see how this translates throughout the rest of the year. Flash in the pan, or is this the new normal? It was a good race. There wasn't too much wind. And so I'm excited to see what other records are going to be going down and how this guy might do at the big stage. He's only 18. So, you know, usually going through rounds when you're younger is a little bit more difficult because you just don't have that experience. But he's going to be a name that we should be watching now. You know, similar to Ferdinand last year, where not a lot of people knew of his name, at least here in the United States, because it's an international runner. And now this is another guy. He's on the map. We'll see what he's going to be doing, and if he can be an issue or someone we have to worry about this season or seasons to come. And then after that, Christine Mboma. So Christine Mboma, she runs the world lead in the 400, she runs the world lead in the 200 with a time of 21 10.87. She also ran a 10.97 in the 100 as well. So she is continuing her dominance that she had last year from when she was a medalist in the Olympics in the 200 at 17 years old. And this is someone that I believe this is the real deal. I don't need to see you do this much more often. It's a season best for her. Last year, she opened up with a time of 22.73 before then closing out with her, 21.7? Is that what she had ran? I can't remember exactly. She ended her 21.78. Yeah, so she opened up the year with the 22.73, and then she closed out with a second better mark than that with a 21.73 as well. So she now opening up her season with a 21.87 is just showing, like, man, we're going to see some wild times this year on the women's side. Like, the record books have a chance to be going bonkers. I mean, she's running super freaking fast and at a very young age, and a lady that is just getting started with her 200 career. Remember, she was a 400 meter runner for much of the season, and then had to switch out to the 400, or had to switch out to the 200 because of rules that happened just a few months, 2 months or so before the Olympics. And so she's just starting to learn this technique and the skills and getting the speed there. And if she's already running these insanely fast times and she still is learning about the event, man, she's going to be a problem. She's going to be a problem. I mean, she didn't run a sub-22 time until the Olympic semifinals in August. And she's already ran it in, April? And so she's going to be a problem, man. Like, I'm really excited to see what this is going to be looking like for her in the 200. I mean, I definitely think she can take down Gabby Thomas and Elaine Thompson-Arras. Like, she's showing that she can be that gold medalist. And I'm wondering how fast is she going to run? Like, I mean, she can run some insane times. I mean, what was the world record again? I am drawing a massive blank. Let me just pull it up. The 200 meters women's world record is a time of, what was it? Oh no, that's the current best. Hers of 22.87. I want the all-time list here. Okay, here we go. The women's 200 world record. Yeah, 21.34. And so she's not going to break that this year, obviously. But she can definitely be getting down. Could she run in the 21.5s? Possibly. I mean, she could run. I definitely see her running in the 21.6s. I mean, we saw the 21.61 and the 21.53 by Elaine Thompson-Arras and Gabby Thomas last year. I don't see why not. I don't see why we can't see it, because those have been the two fastest times since the 90s. It's going to be a very exciting race, and can't wait to see how she's going to be doing. Last thing I want to talk about, and so I didn't bring it up too much, even though it was the biggest meet of the year, and honestly, my favorite meet that I have ever competed in, the Penn Relays and Drake. Didn't talk about it too much because we didn't see too many insane performances. We had some really good names competing. We saw the 4x1500 meter record go down for the women of Arkansas. We saw Sydney McLaughlin opening up with the 100 meter hurdles. We saw New Balance showing their new kits with Sydney McLaughlin as well as Vernon Norwood and a few other New Balance athletes. They were showing those off. But the real thing that I want to talk about, it wasn't a specific performance per se. It was more of what happened after a performance. So this was the DMR of the College of America DMR, and Ole Miss, they win it. They win the DMR, and we had Mario Garcia Romo just going crazy. Like, he had the baton, pretended it's like a baseball bat, celebrating. And we also saw later on with Devin Allen celebrating the 110 meter hurdles. Like, he's you know, embracing the crowd and everything. And it was like, man, like, I love this. This is my favorite part of like the sport, like seeing people celebrate. It's kind of like the bat flip, you know, after home runs in basketball, the end zone celebration in football, you know, all of that stuff. That's what this is for track and field. And a lot of people don't do it, but it's my favorite thing. Like, you know, celebrate. You did something crazy. You won a race. You beat all these other people that want to win it, and you're number one. Yeah, so celebrate. You know, you use the baton as a bat. You know, go, you know, stick your tongue out and have fun and everything like that. It brings some lightheartedness to the sport and more, you know, more fun. It makes it more fun and entertaining. So I'm hoping that we see more of that. But I mean, you never know. You know, our sport's weird. But yeah, that's going to do it for us here. Oh, I might as well share with you guys some news if you didn't see it. So one thing that I am excited to share with you, if you haven't seen it on Instagram yet, I think I might be posting this. It might have already been posted or it will be posted soon. But I am going to be the host or one of the hosts for the upcoming American Track League competition in Puerto Rico. I will be doing post-race and post-competition interviews of the athletes. It's going to be really fun, live on ESPN2, and so we're going to be going there. We'll get a vlog and a video. We're going to post some stuff for you so you can see some behind the scenes of us hanging out with athletes and what it all looks like and all that type of stuff. So I am super excited for that opportunity. Can't wait to bring some more content to you about that competition as well. But yeah, that's going to be it for this episode of Track World News. If you enjoyed, please make sure to leave a like. Subscribe, leave a comment, leave a review. All that stuff really helps us know that you're enjoying what's going on. That's going to do it from us. Have a good one.